Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Ibadi Islam, a Wikipedia reading. So there's several types of Islam. Well, three or four. There's the Sunni and the Shia. Oh, we've got different things. A lot of people are very ignorant about it, I find, when they ask about it. They're sort of ignorant on one aspect in terms of they assume bad things. They assume a much bigger state. Like, if someone is an American, they assume that they're responsible for Hiroshima or something like that. So there's lumps of jumping to conclusions. There's sort of other things that people don't tend to know about. The Black Stone, the Cube, all these sort of slightly weirder aspects, I hate to say it, of Islam. But then again, to really understand it, to see how Islam's actually functioning within itself, you need to understand this. Now, I just have read the Oman, a country southeast coast of the Arabian Peninsula, and it's the home to a sect of Iran which is neither Sunni or Shia. So it's sort of like Sunni and Shia is sort of Catholic and Protestant. And then there's one or two New Age sects. There's really three sects. This is Sunni, Shia, and Ibadi. Now, the Ibadi one is been refined to Oman and Comoros Islands. And apart from that, it really hasn't spread, and people don't know about it, and I'm fascinated by it, so let's read about it. Ibadi, I'll spell it for you, I-B-A-D-I. The Ibadi movement, Ibadism, is also known as Ibadis. It's a school of Islam dominant in Oman, which I've just read about. It is also found in parts of Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, East Africa. So East Africa, these are the... It used to be a big part of a proto-Portuguese empire. It was either before or during with it. The movement is said to have been founded around the year 650 CE, about 20 years after the death of the Islamic prophet Muhammad. So you have pure Islam, and within so many years afterwards, you get this breaking up. Now, this is 500 years advanced civilization since the time of Christ, 600 years since the time of Christ, you get this division. And it seems to be happening because Islam is sort of different from Christianity. Christianity was diffused into the Roman Empire and basically destroyed it, but infiltrated into it. So Christianity absorbed the Roman Empire, whereas something else was happening here. The movement is said to... predating both the Sunni and Shia denominations. Modern historians trace back the origins of the denomination to a moderate current of Kawai movement. Qajari Ibadis strongly object to being classified as Qajarites, although they recognise that their movement originated from the Qajarite succession. Now, this is interesting because that's really the fourth and fifth the Qajarites, but that's sort of a very small... I think that's in Pakistan or something like that. Qajarites. So let's read about it. So that's another group. We'll get into it. History. The school derives its name from Abu al-Ibn Abad of Banu Tamim. Bin Ibad was responsible for breaking off with the wider Qajarite movement roughly around the time of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, the fifth Umayyad ruler, took power. So this is a sort of pre-Islamic empire, the Umayyad empire. Interesting. I really have to study a bit more about it. However, the true founder was Jabir ibn Zayd of Nizwa in Oman. Initially, Ibadi theology developed in Basra, Iraq. The Ibadis opposed the rules of the third caliph of Islam, So Islam is sort of really different from the Christian religion in terms of it wasn't an undercurrent being stamped out by the organisation. It was taken in and very much linked up with the kings and stuff like that. Now, the Karajites, I think, are the ones, Islamic State. I think the Karajites are the extreme ones. They're better supposed to rule of the third caliph. But unlike more extreme Karajites, the Abbadids rejected the murder of Uthman, as well as the Karajite belief that all Muslims holding different points of views were infidels. Yeah, I think they are the extreme ones. The Karajites, believe it, are not Sunni or Shia, but there has come to a stance in the Islamic State. Well, they're neo-Karajites, I think. The Abbadids were among the more moderate groups opposed to the fourth caliph Ali, and wanted to return Islam to a form prior to the conflicts between Ali and Muawiyah. So, yeah, there was sort of like a civil war going on. And it's not so this is unheard of in Europe. There was, I think, a third of all people died due to Catholic-Protestant infighting. They called themselves the Makawima. The Mahawima and the Al-Harija refers to Muslims who rejected the arbitration between Abi bin Abi Talib and Mara in the Battle of Siffin in Siffin in 657 AD. So this is about the time. So this is one of the things that I'm trying to get my head around, that you can actually determine philosophical points of view by blowing everybody up. At the end of the day, I've got to really think about it. I just cannot understand how that works. But that we were doing. So let's read it. The name Muhakima derives from their slogan Al Kamil Ila, meaning judgment, belongs to God alone. The name Ahal refers to the withdrawal from Ali's army to the village of Hara, near Kufra. The episode marks the start of the Karajat movement, and the term Mahayim is often used to apply to the extension of the Karajites. Yeah, I think this is your sort of radical belief that, yeah, it's really interesting. It's they want to. The real complexity I find is that Islamic State wanted to create an Islamic Caliphate. I suppose that may make sense. Due to their opposition to the Umayyad Caliphate, the Ibadis attempted an armed insurrection starting at Hejaz Rizan in 740. So this is a full 90 years after. Caliph Marwan II led 4,000 strong army and routed the Abbadis first in Mecca, then in Sama in Yemen, and finally surrounded them in Shiban and western Halamarat. Problems back in their heartland of Syria forced the Abbadis to sign a peace accord with the Abbadis, and the sect was allowed to retain community in Shaban for the next four centuries, while still paying taxes to the Abbadi authorities in Oman. God. For a period after Imar's death, Jabin bin Zara maintained a friendship with the Umayyad general Al-Ajjar Yusuf, who supported the Abbadis as a counterbalance to the extreme Karajites. Well, this is right, the Karajites was the basic, you know, Islamic stormtroopers. Ibn Zayd ordered the assassination of one of Al-Hajj's spies, however, and the reaction of many Ibadis were imprisoned and exiled in Oman. So Ibadi was really a moderate, sort of the moderate Islam. So you've got moderate Islam, these extreme people. So it's to understand this is left over, the last man left standing, so to speak. And this is without the Shia and the Sunnis coming along. It was during the 8th century that the Abbadis established an imamate in a region of Oman. The position was an elected one, as opposed to the Sunni and Shia dynasties that were where the rule was inherited. And this is the bizarre thing, is that you've got Indonesia, these, I don't know what Indonesia is and stuff like that. You've got these huge Arab countries, these huge non-Arab countries, and how can they have their people in it? I don't understand. The imams exerted political, spiritual, and military functions, which is not, you know, it's sort of, the, you used to have bishops. You have bishops on your chessboards, and their cardinals used to lead battle armies, and you've got crusades, you know, fair suck of the sauce bottle. By the year 900, Ibadism had spread to Sinod, Khorasan, Hamrat, Dufa, Oman proper, Muscat, Nufsan Mountains, Qeshem. By 120, the sect was present in Al Andalus, Sicily, Southern Algerian Sahara, and the Western Sahel regions. Well, there you go. The Ibadists of Sherman were expelled by the Sunnah dynasty in the 12th century. In the 14th century, historian Ibn Khaldun made reference to the vestiges of Ibadi influence in Hadhramaut, although the sect no longer exists in the region there today. So that's interesting enough. So they sort of grew, and when the rest of, they've sort of become extinguished by evolution. Despite predating all Sunni and Shia schools for several decades, Ibadis and their beliefs remain largely a mystery to outsiders, both non-Muslims and even other Muslims. Ibadis have claimed, with justification, that while they read works of the Sunnis and Shias, even the learned scholars of those two sects never read Ibadi works and often repeat myths and false information when they address the topic of Ibadism without performing proper research. The isolated nation of the nature of the Oman granted the Ibadi granted the Ibadi denomination, secretive by nature, the perfect environment to develop in isolation from the Islamic mainstream. Ibadis were cut off even from the Karajite sect because Ibn Ibad criticism of their excesses and his rejection of their more extreme beliefs. The spread of Ibadism in Oman is essentially represents the triumph of theology over tribal feudalism and conflict. And really, this is, it's interesting how Ibadism has gone there, but then the things where it was pushed out, you've got the tribal feudalism coming back in. Ibadis have been referred to as tolerant Puritans or political quietists because of their preference to solve differences through dignity and reason rather than confrontation, as well as tolerance of practicing Christians, Hindus, Sikhs, Jews, sharing their communities. Muscats, Oman presently have churches, temples, and Gurdwaras, whatever that is. Now, it reminds me, this is the Dutch problem. That's really interesting. Okay. Ibadan's movement from Hajaz to Iraq and then further out made Ibadi historian Al-Simi once write that Ibadism is a bird whose egg was laid in Medina, hatched in Basra, and flew to Oman. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that not a beautiful thing to say? Alongside Hafi, Zaid, and Imanism, Ibadism is among the oldest existing Islamic school of thoughts, dating back to the 8th century. Views. Ibadis state, with reason, that the school predates the mainstream Islamic schools, and Ibadism is thus considered to be an early and highly orthodox interpretation of Islam. So they are political quietists and stuff like that, but they're just killing their own economy. Doctrinal differences with other denominations. Ibadis have several doctrinal differences with other denominations of Islam. Chief among them are, and there are 7 points here. Number one, God will not show himself to Muslims on the Day of Judgment. A belief shared with Shias and Sunnis believe that Muslims will see gods on the Day of Judgment. Two, the Quran was created by God at a certain point in time. This belief is shared by someone or other. And Shias, where the Sunnis hold the Quran to be co-external to God, as exemplified by the suffering of Ahmad ibn Hanbal during the something like that. 3. Like the Mutsas and Shias, but unlike the Salafis, they interpret anthropomorphic references to God in the Quran symbolically rather than literally, so God came down as a cow or whatever it is. 4. Their views on predestinations are like Ashi Sunnis. So occasionalism. So predestination means that God's ordered everything. Five, it's unnecessary to have one leader of the entire Muslim world. And if no single leader fits the job, Muslim communities can rule themselves. That is different from both Sunni belief of caliphates and Shia beliefs of imama. So now, so there is this is really important because you're trying to fight Islam, and it's actually this extreme sect which is neither Sunni or any of them. It's Islamic State. I don't think the Sunnis or Shias are putting their hands up for that. Just bundling it all together, you're actually creating a problem yourself. Okay, so it is not necessary for the ruler of the Muslims to be descended from the Qashari tribe, which is the tribe the Muslim Prophet Muhammad. That is different from the Shias. Well, there you go. And you can imagine the well, that's blowing my brains out. That's so complicated. And the last one is they believe it is acceptable to conceal one's belief under certain circumstances, known as kitman, analogous to the Shia, something or other else. So, blow me down. Sort of like tolerance, counterintelligence. Views on the Islamic history and the caliphate. Ibadis agree with the Sunnis regarding Abu Bakr and Amr ibn al-Khattab as rightfully guarded caliphs. They regard the first half of Uthman ibn Affan's rule as righteous and the second half as corrupt and affected both by nepotism and heresy. They approve the first part of Ali Caliphate and, like the Shias, disapprove of Shia Ash's rebellion and Milawat's first revolt. However, they to regard Ali's acceptance of arbitration in the Battle of Shifan as rendering him unfit for leadership, and condemn him for killing Kawa al-Nasr in the Battle of Nahran. Modern Abadi theologians defer the early Karajite opposition to Uthman and Ali and Batwa. Well, perhaps there's one statement you couldn't go, you could listen to them and say, and I think we're going to let bygones be bygones. It's sort of ancient gods being ancient gods. Moroccan explorer Ibn Butta observed Ibadis praying Jaman and Oman and said they prayed in the same manner as Zuru prayer. He noticed that they invoked God's mercy and on Abu Bakr and Umar, but not Uthman and Ali. Oh, okay, so these are the people they didn't like. In their belief, the next legitimate caliph was Abul bin Wab Rashibi, leader of the Karajites, who turned against Ali for his acceptance of the arbitration of Mala. My God. All caliphs from Mara onwards are considered tyrants except for Amr bin Abul Azl, on whom opinions differ. Numerous Abadi's leaders are recognized as true imams, including Abdul bin Yahya al-Kindi of Saudi Arabia and the imams of Rustam's dynasty in North Africa. Traditionally, conservative Imami Ibadism rejected monarchy and hereditary rule, and the Abadi leaders were elected, which is what you can, but it's no longer anymore. Despite bitter religious disputes elsewhere, the Ibadis are realists and believe that reason and political experiences must temper the idealistic, ideal Islamic state. So this is really interesting because they're still, they are the good guys of the Islamic state type of stuff. View on Hadith. I've had a student named Hadith. Ibadis believe, accept as authentic, far fewer Hadith than do Sunnis. So these are essential belief. Several Abadi founding figures were noted for their hadith research. Jabir is accepted as a reliable narrator, even by Sunni scholars as well as by the Abadis. After the death of Ibn Ibad, Ibn Zayd led the Abadis and withdrew to Oman, where his hadith, along with others, early Abadis, formed the corpus of internet interpretation of Islamic law. Really wish I would to understood what Hadith was. View on theology. The development of Ibadi theology happened thanks to the works of scholars and imams to the community whose histories, lives and personalities are part of the Islamic story. Ibadi theology can be understood on the basis of the work of Ibn Ibad, Zad, Rab, Habib, Safran and others. Basra is the foundation of the Ibadi community. Various Ibadi communities were established in southern Arabia with bases in Oman, North Africa and East Africa mainly. View on jurisprudence. The FIQH, or jurisprudence of Ibadis, is relatively simple. Absolute authority is given to the Quran and Hadith. New innovations accepted on the basis of qiyas or analogical reasons, rejected as bid'ahs by Ibadis. Baptisms from the majority of Sunnis, except minority Zahi and early Habali schools of Sunnism, but agrees with the Shias. Well, there you go. Who don't get me into just fix up their disputes. Now, demographics. Fortunately, the other one page is blown away and I only had a sentence on the back of it, so that's okay. Ibadis make up a majority, 75% of the population of Oman. They are roughly 2.72 million Ibadis worldwide, of which 250,000 live outside Oman. As a result, Oman is the only country in the Muslim world with an Ibadi majority population. Historically, the early medieval rheumatism Rustamid dynasty in Algeria was Ibadi, and refugees from its capital, Tarit, founded the North African Ibadi communities, in which exist in Mozab. The Mozabites, M-O-Z-A-B-I-T-E-s, are Berber ethnic groups, Mozabites, are Ibadis. Ibadism also exists elsewhere in Africa, particularly in Zanzibar and Tanzania, the Nusil Mountains in Libya, Dejab Island in Tunisia, an island in Tunisia among and a clan in the Somalis. So I have to find out what Zanzibar. Zanzibar sounds such a fantastic name. I'm going to have a holiday in Zanzibar. That sounds great, you know, great for suntanning and bazaars and great food. I wonder what Zanzibar is actually like. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.